Welcome to Flight Plans, the official podcast of the SAE Aero Design Series. Hey everybody, welcome to the show. I'm Mike Sorge, the podcast and media producer with the SAE CDS program, University Programs, and we are ready for Aero Design West out in California in Van Nuys. Good to be out on the West Coast here coming up, and I hope you guys are listening on your way or preparing or packing or however the case may be, and we want to make sure we take some time so you're the best prepared to have a good weekend with us. First of all, we do have on the line back again your air boss and such a great dancer, Glenn Cashin, is with us today.
Hey, Mike. How you doing today?
Great to see you, Glenn. And I don't know, for those that weren't out at Aero Design East, we got to see a lot of your dance moves as you're waiting for the wind to die down.
Well, you have to stay entertained in some way, and it's better to keep me focused on what I'm doing.
And we got a new competition director for Aero Design West joining us here today. Ed Rooney is with us today. How you doing today, Ed?
Hey, Mike. Doing really good. Really excited to be here.
Excellent. Hey, glad to meet you here on the in podcast form, at least. Looking forward to seeing you in person out there at the competition. But first, you're taking over for Ryan Reynolds, who we've had on the show multiple times over the years to talk about the West competition. I think we need to take a moment and kind of get to know you. Ed, what is your background here going into Aero Design West?
Yeah, so great question. And, first off, Ryan has done such a good job over the past couple of years getting us to where we are, right? So I actually competed in this in 2013 as a student competitor in regular class, and that was the first time I actually met Glenn, which is really funny coming full circle how I'm working with him again, which I'm really grateful for. But I competed in 2013. I don't recall if I ever met Ryan during that, but I definitely met Glenn. Graduated from Virginia Tech. We did not place in that competition. Because we had a lot of growing pains, which I hope none of the students listening they've gotten through that already. But I left Virginia Tech, started working for Lockheed Martin on the F-35 program. And then for the past 7 years, I've been working at Lockheed Martin Skunk Works in the Aerodynamics Group, where I met Ryan Reynolds, and he brought me back into SAE Aero Design. And this year, he handed me the reins to take over. So I'm super excited for, my first year leading it. I think we're going to have really good weather, hopefully. I think California is going to be beautiful for everyone coming out, especially all the rain we've had leading up to it. So it's going to be the greenest you've ever seen the LA area. We have on Friday, one of the chief engineers of Skunk Works giving a presentation on flight controls. And then just some awesome engineers for some of the students to interact with and get to know, what's the next step in your career. SAE Aero Design is your world right now, but that is a stepping stone to your future career as a successful engineer. So I'm really happy to provide some of those Lockheed and other industry engineer experts just to, talk about their experiences and have the students learn more about, going from college to the real world.
That's great. It's great that you have that history with the competition and where you've ended up. So tell me a little bit. Obviously, you had whatever growing pains at the time, but, it was definitely certainly an educational experience for you. Can you tell me what your biggest takeaway was from the competition when you participated?
Oh, where to start? Stability and control, structures, manufacturing, performance, all of it, right? To me, I think that these collegiate design series are the most value you can get throughout your collegiate experience, right? You can go to school, you can do all these homeworks, you can take all these tests, but actually putting, not pen to paper, but, hammer to nail and fabricating something and making sure that your math checks out, to me, that's the best lessons learned. Additionally, it takes a village, right? Whether, whether you go on to work in the space industry or aerospace, whether you go on to work in independent or, a government agency, you have to learn how to interact with folks. And I'm sure some of the students competing have learned that, the fun way and the hard way throughout their process leading up to this competition. And one of my probably best lessons learned was learning how to be a leader via SAE Aero Design. Because you really learn how to, regulate your own emotions. You're so passionate about this project. And, there was definitely a couple times where I said some things to some of my really close friends that I really regretted. And I'm really fortunate that I was able to have those experience and learn, like, okay, that's not how you handle yourself, you know, as an adult, as an employee at a future company. And it's very noticeable when you interact with folks who have not had that experience later on in life and in their career. So for me, just the whole competition in a nutshell is such an amazing experience, right? From the heartbreak of something not working to the joy of seeing it actually work, and then, you know, placings, coming in first, second, or third. Although my team didn't have it score any flight points, I believe we scored second for our technical report, which was, I remember we read the result in the Airtel parking lot, because we were still trying to repair our plane because we drove from Virginia Tech to California. And funny story, we drove through an ice storm and the wing warped because we had it on the roof of our van. So we were looking at scores while we were in the parking lot at midnight trying to get the wing fixed. And we were all, you know, running on fumes, like, what, we're never going to get this to work. And then all of a sudden we came in second place for this report that seemed like we did a lifetime ago. And, you know, just those emotions that you feel from this competition are just so rewarding and memories that will last forever.
Hey, that's great to hear. And I think that's something for the students to remember is, you know, whatever you're going through, like, a lot of the people working these events have been through very similar situations. So, you know, and look where we are now.
Yep. I can definitely say from experience, all the volunteers who are working understand that the students who are coming to this has been your life, right, for the past year, multiple years. So we can definitely appreciate all the hard work that you guys have put in. And, you know, we'll be there to make sure that you guys are successful and do as much as we can to have a great competition. The one piece of advice I know, when we didn't fly that last flight attempt, I was like, I'm never going to get hired. I'm never going to have a job. I'm never going to be able to work in aerospace. That's why this year I wanted to bring in some of, you know, that presentation and bring in some folks from Skunk Works that, you know, I'm hoping everyone is successful. We have a really tight competition this year, but I want everyone to take something away from it. You know, besides that, you made it to the competition, right? That alone in itself is a feat that every student and every team should be proud of. And I want you guys to interact with some of the volunteers, learn about us, learn about our experiences, and ask questions. And I hope that you guys take away, you know, more than just coming in first, second, or third place from this.
That's right. There's a lot you can win by not even getting to the flight line. And that's one of the great things about competitions like this. Again, we're going to be preparing you for this competition. And just like we did for AeroDesign East, there is a little bit of a visual component to this. If you're listening to this on the audio podcast version, there's going to be a video version over on YouTube that we will link in the description of this podcast. And of course, a link to the slides themselves if you just want to look through them yourselves during or afterwards through this. Because maybe you're sitting in the car on the way to the competition and you're listening to the podcast, which we appreciate, however you can get it in.
So again, thank you guys for listening. Hopefully you're not listening to this on the 405 or you're stuck in traffic trying to get out of LAX or Burbank, but just a quick overview of who some of the key people are at the AeroDesign West competition. So myself, Ed Rooney, is contest director. You may run into Emma Chow on the flight line. She's the deputy director right now. As of right now, we are not on the rules committee. So anyone who, if you have any questions regarding scoring, regarding are you compliant with the rules, those are the folks you want to look for. They're going to be wearing red hats, and they'll also have red badges on their name tags. So those folks are as follows. So Lonnie Dong, he will most likely be in the either on the flight line or in the weigh station headquarters area. David, I don't believe, is attending. I could be wrong. Glenn will definitely be on the flight line. You all will be interacting with him. Ryan Reynolds, who is the former director, again, he will be at the weigh station. Josh Childs, you guys will definitely interact with him or Tom Blakeney on Friday, because they will be the ones giving you the thumbs up for, are you compliant with the rules? If not, what do you need to fix, or, you know, assess any penalties as required? So again, the big thing for everyone to remember is if you have any rules questions, look for folks in the red hats. Anyone who is not wearing a red hat, any answers that they give you regarding rules or scoring or anything like that is not official. Please take that with a grain of salt, because the letter of the law comes from the folks in the red hats. from the SAE International staff, we have Brett, who I'm sure you guys will interact with as well, who's been a great resource to us. Gage Mary, I don't think we've had the pleasure of meeting yet. And then Scott Schultz, who some of the students may or may not have seen invitations to for some of your virtual presentations. So very appreciative to have those folks with us in a couple of weeks. So big weekend overview, right? So for those of you who have competed before, or this may be your first time, it's 3 days. Friday is when we do our technical inspection. So we're inspecting the vehicle to make sure you are compliant, as well as having folks from the field look over your vehicle and make sure they are comfortable with your vehicle from an airworthiness perspective. So although you may pass a technical inspection, there will be folks from the Valley Flyers who will look over your vehicle and make sure it's structurally sound, make sure control surfaces are properly attached, so on and so forth. Most likely, the technical inspection will accomplish both of those tasks by the same individual, but just be prepared to interact with folks from the Valley Flyers organization, as well as from SAE Aero Design. The field will be open for limited flying on Friday, and then we will be doing a welcome presentation, a safety presentation in the evening, which we will be providing you meals. And again, we will have a presentation by the Skunk Works chief engineer on flight controls. That's going to be by Mike Carter, who is an awesome engineer and a good mentor and friend of mine. And I really hope you guys take away a lot from it, because it is just an absolutely fantastic presentation. So the big question I know a lot of students are probably asking, lunch is not provided to the students on Friday, sadly, but again, you will have dinner provided for you on Friday evening at that presentation. But lunch, you're on your own. There's a lot of great places around, which we'll talk about later on in the discussion. Saturday is a full day of competition flying. Again, for those of you who've been here, you know, a lot of you are probably familiar with the tempo. We do micro, regular, advance, and we keep going through that cycle until pretty much the end of the day. So the field will open around 7 a.m. We'll have a pilots meeting at 7:30, and then our first round will start at 8, and we're just going to keep flying pretty much the entire day until roughly around 5 o'clock, and hopefully send everyone home for the evening around 5:30. For the students, breakfast and dinner is not provided, but there will be water and lunch on Saturday provided. You all get lunch tickets when you check in. And on Saturday, we will be having Habit Burger, which is a local burger shop that started out of Santa Barbara, which is honestly, it's amazing. And they have vegetarian options as well. On Sunday, we're going to do the same thing again. Field opens at 7, pilots meeting at 7:30, 8 o'clock, we'll start flying. We're going to fly to, I'll say, roughly around noon, give or take a little bit. And then we'll be doing our award ceremony shortly after, once we tally up some of the final flight scores, technical presentation scores, and the presentation, the virtual presentations as well. On Sunday, there will be a taco stand that will be set up for us from 11 to 1. Because of the amount of students we have, we will be announcing instructions either via the app or on the loudspeakers on staggering students to go get your lunch, just that way that the stand is not overrun. So again, just a quick overview of some of the times again. Big takeaways are pretty much Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 7, 8 a.m. to roughly dinner time around 5, 5:30. For Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I presume those folks would be ready to leave the field around Sunday afternoon. So if you have not booked your travel yet, it's more than reasonable that you can make a flight out of LAX later on Sunday evening or out of Burbank. So big picture for operating at the field. We have multiple areas for you to set up your team. Right now, we're just asking teams to have one table per team and four chairs per team as well. There are three main areas, which we'll show if you're listening audio, you'll be able to look at the charts later on. There's three areas where you can set up your tents, pick a table, I should say. There's two main tents relatively close to the flight line, and then there's hard tables that the facility provides right near the main taxiway. Those tables are really first come, first serve, and I would highly recommend you do not leave anything there overnight. We cannot guarantee it will be there the next day. So please make sure, you know, you bring what you want and you take it home with you every evening as well. In terms of motor testing, there's in designated areas on the field where if you need to test your motor, you can do that, as well as where to charge your batteries. There is no electricity provided in the tents, but there is a facility provided drill press and sander if needed that you can use as well. And we're very grateful for the Valley Flyers for letting us use that one. But the big takeaway here is, you know, please, you know, get yourself set up, do what you need to do, but please, you know, when same procedures if you go hiking, right? Take back what you take in. Okay, so California wildlife and warning. I know it's very hard to believe that in Los Angeles there is wildlife. It shocked me as well when I first moved here, but where our airfield is a large, I wouldn't say it's like a New York Central Park, but it is a large wildlife area, wetlands, right? So please be mindful when you're walking off paths. If you are looking to recover your vehicle due to an incident, we will have a safety briefing about that as well on how to do that. But while you're walking through that brush area, please be mindful of wildlife out there, whether that's snakes, etc. If you need advice on how to handle those situations, please come talk to one of the volunteers. They'll be more than happy to escort you and, you know, help you recover your vehicle as needed. Again, try to not leave anything of value overnight at the field. Although we do have security in place, you are responsible for your equipment and all material at the end of each day. Los Angeles is a city, so please be mindful of not leaving anything of value out at the field at the end of each day. I'm sure many of you have backup vehicles that you're bringing or are bringing backup parts, so on and so forth. I remember when we were traveling out there to compete, we had, I think, two airframes we brought with us. And because we were 100% certain we would never need to go to a hobby shop to buy more things. And then we crashed twice in a row. So there is a hobby shop roughly about 15 minutes away that has most things needed for RC aircraft. And we are actually working to get some on-site vendors as well coming to be able to sell goods as needed. Now, I don't know if they will be able to have some of the specific components that are required, right? Whether it's the power limiter or motors, things like that. But if you break a prop or anything like that, I'm almost positive Hobby House or another local vendor or an on-site vendor will have what you need to continue competing. So the field location, as I mentioned, the Valley Flyers field is located within the Sepulveda Basin Park. So if you're coming from LAX, you are going to take the 405 North, take that to roughly Burbank Avenue, and it's pretty much right there, right after you get off the highway. So we will be, I believe the app has the physical address as well. So 6201 Woodley Avenue. You will go down a narrow road past some wetlands, and then you'll pass through two gates, and you will see a gravel and dirt parking lot. That is where you are going to park or get dropped off. And then you will see the field as well. Yeah, relatively close to major transportation with respect to highways, whether you're flying into Burbank or LAX. So big picture for what the event is going to look like. So let's start at where are you guys going to set up in terms of a pits area. So we will have two cover tents, student pit one, student pit two, with tables underneath there and chairs. And then there are metal tables, which do not have covers, but they are in the shade underneath these trees in student pit area number three. Glenn, correct me if I'm wrong here. These are first come, first serve. So, you know, the field opens at 7. If you want to get into the student pit area number three or get a good table underneath the tent, you know, it's better to be there early.
That's exactly correct.
Thank you, Glenn. On Saturday, we will have our lunch truck stationed north edge corner of the field. Again, that will be Habit Burger, which does have vegetarian options. They will be there from roughly 11 to 1. And then on Sunday, will be a taco stand. If you go south of that taco truck, we will have sponsor booths and battery charging. Brett, do you want to talk really quickly about what sponsors are going to be in attendance?
Yeah, thank you, Ed. So yeah, for sponsors for the event, in addition to the many volunteers that we'll have from Lockheed Martin on site, there'll be four other groups that should be there on various days throughout the event. ANSYS should be there on April 12th and 13th. They were also on site at Aerodesign East. PTC Onshape, who is the sponsor for our design report award this year. They should be on site on all or most of the days, as well as Tesla and MathWorks. They should all have representatives out there. So be sure to get out there and engage with them, speak to them, learn from their experiences, and show them your aircraft.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brett. Continuing south, you'll have water pickup and then battery charging as well near the electrical area, near some of our Valley Flyers facilities. Outside of the fence line, there will be restrooms via porta potties. And then there will be an EMT station and check-in at the covered area, center of the field, outside of the fence line. An important thing to note here is that to come into the field area, you will have to come check in first. Each day you will be handed a wristband, and those wristbands will be required for you to be inside the fence line, where the fence line is going to be pretty much on the other side of the restrooms. And we will have security checking to make sure anyone inside that fence line has that required wristband to get in there. So with respect to inspection, we are going to be sending out schedules the week of March 31st to everyone. So please look for a push notification on the app to know when your team is going to be required for inspection on Friday. Teams must certify planes that meet 100% of the rules in SAE STARS before the inspection. I know the rules are a lot to read through. Please make sure yourself and everyone on your team is thoroughly familiar with those rules, because the rules committee and the inspection committee are, and they will be making sure you are compliant. Again, if you have any questions, please take this time before the competition, use the forum, or if you're at the competition, please, please, please ask the Red Hat any questions you have before you start inspection or during as well. Once the inspection does start, though, any non-compliance will result in a loss of points. So if you are on the fence about something, you know, is what you're doing in not in the spirit of the rules, you know, pull a Red Hat aside and ask them before you go into that, and before you start, so that you don't get penalized unnecessarily. Again, inspection will consist of two components: the rules compliance from the Red Hats and the local field compliance / airworthiness. And they will be giving you a thumbs up for competing and flying.
Yeah, Ed, thank you very much for the local update. We're going to go over a little bit of the process of flying and what you'll need to be prepared for the day of. Since we have transitioned this year's set of rules for flight readiness, these pieces of information are going to be tremendously important for you. The idea is we want you to get as many flights in as possible and get as many opportunities to show your abilities and your skills, demonstrating that with your aircraft. So we're going to go into a little bit of the flight ops. Teams will be there on Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. There will be a pilot and team captain meeting on show center on the runway. We will discuss the operations for the day and more specifically some of the rules, particularly the local rules for the airfield. And we'll talk about the out of bounds areas and what is considered a good landing and when things might go bad and what we're going to do about that. We'll also talk about how to recover your aircraft and where recovery teams need to be assigned. So to start on Saturday morning after the pilot's meeting, you'll go and get your aircraft. And I'm going to go through a few scenarios, but I'll cover the general rules for all three classes to start with. You will go to the SAE headquarters, which is by the taxiways heading out. You'll start to queue up there when you have already picked up your score sheet and your flight card. When you have that, you will come and get it in line. You're not allowed to be in line without your aircraft and your flight card. Once you do that, we'll bring you out to the flight line and get you ready to start your flight ops. So part of that will be you'll get to a gate, and once you go beyond that gate, it'll be noted as the on-deck area. Once you go into the on-deck area, that will be considered the start of your flight. You'll go inside and get your airplane prepared to take off on the runway. You'll be called to the runway and start your flight. So for the micro division, you will come in to the starting line where you see the starting line there. You have multiple takeoff distances. You have a 10-foot, a 25, a 50, and a 100. You must take off before the 100. If you take off after the 100, you will be asked to go ahead and roll back and return back to the pit area so you can get another ticket to fly. There is a cone-shaped area, which will be shown in the next slide, that shows you what exactly your takeoff area is. You will take off, fly to the last cone that will be marked. That's a 400-foot turn. Make your turn, go to downwind, make your base to final, and must land back past where you started your takeoff roll. That will complete the circuit, and that will be your flying area. Your landing zone is the 200 feet after the takeoff line, and it'll be marked with lines or tape on the runway. This is a close-up of the takeoff area. The right-hand edge, as you can see it, is 5 feet wide, and it fans out to 10 feet wide at the 10-foot takeoff line. This means that you must fly directly forward, and you can't fly diagonally across the takeoff zone. Once you get out past that, you can continue to the 25, the 50, and the 100-foot takeoff markers. We'll have flaggers that will let you know when your earliest takeoff was. For regular flight ops, you will come into the pit area, assemble your outer panel wings, and prepare to take the runway. As you take the runway, you will start at the first marker, which is the same as the micro. You have 100 feet to take off. There will be a flagger that lets you know if you lift off before. If you lift off before and the wheels touch back down and then you take off solid before that 100 foot, that is considered a good flight. If you take off before and touch anything after that 100, you are disqualified on that flight and you need to go ahead and taxi out. You will continue down the runway to the 400 foot mark. There will be a flagger there that will tell you where the first turn is. You'll turn around, come downwind, and then turn base to final after you pass the second flag, which will be on the starting line, and then bring your aircraft in for a landing. The aircraft must stay on the runway the entire time, and you're not allowed to leave the runway until you have been instructed to. You will then go take your aircraft to the weigh station if you have a successful flight and get it weighed in. And then you can get back in line to get another flight sheet and get back in line to fly. For advanced ops, you will come into the on-deck area, have your PATA in place, and be ready to fly. Your 3 minutes will start for your computer setup and data acquisition. Then you will have your time to start your flight. Remember that your aircraft must land before the 5 minute mark is up, and your PATA can land after that. You have the full run of the runway. You must release your aircraft, your PATA, outside of the 400 foot of center of the runway, 200 foot to the right, 200 foot to the left. When you come out to the runway, you will select the target that you are aiming for. You will get your color card and you will be able to know which target you are attempting to reach. After you take off, you can fly through the target location area and then out into the drop zones, which are outside of that. You will be told when you're in the zone and when you're outside the zone. You must drop your PATA outside the zone to have a successful flight, and it must fly successfully once it leaves your primary aircraft. PATAs that land in the 30-foot circle will be scored, and we will recover them. And the main aircraft must land on the runway and stay on the runway after landing. You can take your aircraft back from recovery, weigh the water, and we will recover the PATA. If it's a good landing, we will give it back to you and it will be impounded. And then you will be able to go back, get another flight card, and get back in line. After your aircraft has had a successful flight, you've taken off in the proper zones, you've stayed on the runway, you've released PATAs if that's part of your group, and you are ready to go get your scoring. You recover the aircraft. There'll be an area marked for recovery. You'll send out your recovery team to recover your aircraft off the runway. Remove your arming plug and hold it in the air so that we can check that off of our checklist. And then you will report to the flight station with your steward. You do not need to disassemble anything till you're instructed to. If you have a regular class aircraft, you may be instructed to remove the outer panels to go into the weigh station. Okay, team, that covers what you will be doing, getting ready for flight, coming in, landing, getting your successful flight, and going and getting your score. A couple of things about crashes. If your aircraft crashes and you're able to recover it close by the runway, you'll be instructed by a flight steward or a flagger to go and recover your aircraft. We will halt air operations for that. So please do it tremendously quickly. If you have a successful flight, also recover your aircraft and remove it from the runway as quickly as possible. We will try to get as many flights in as possible, and this is a key factor. On advanced class, we will be recovering your PATA and returning it back to the flight steward to take to the weigh station. There may also be a rules committee member that will accompany you. If your aircraft does crash out into the field in the larger area, we'll have someone go with you out into the field to recover your aircraft. You may be taking one or two of your recovery members. We may have a couple of people that will volunteer to come and help recover the aircraft with you. We may or may not stop flight operations while you are recovering, depending upon the location of your aircraft. Again, you will need to be heads up and fully aware of what's going on so that you know where the aircraft is, and if we're conducting flight operations, someone will be spotting for you to make sure that you're not in harm's way for an aircraft that will fly around you. Biggest thing is, I believe that I remember meeting Ed in the parking lot with Virginia Tech with his warped wing and joking with him about it. And he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that I was walking around the Airtel that evening and we had a conversation about using a heat gun to straighten out the warps.
Nope, that's correct.
I just wanted to make sure that was right. So,
no, that's right. You got a good memory.
So a couple of ground rules. For teams that have their own pilots, they need to make sure the team pilot and team captain is at the meeting 7:30 a.m. on Saturday morning, 7:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. And we will also have a meeting for everyone on Friday evening and cover the general rules. If you do not have a pilot, you can request them from us, and we will take care of getting you that pilot. If you want to change pilots for whatever reason, that's okay too. This competition is about you, and we want to make sure that you get the best opportunity to fly as possible. We will have some very qualified pilots at the competition. A lot of these folks are professional pilots, and they get paid money to do this, and they're coming and volunteering their time. They're also generous enough to volunteer their time for 3 or 4 days and will help you out as much as they can. If you decide to get there early, the airfield is a public airfield and you are allowed to fly your aircraft. The Valley Flyers will have some pilots there for teams that don't have pilots with them. So there may be one or two pilots available as early as Saturday before the competition. Do be mindful that they are flying experimental aircraft and do your best to have your aircraft ready for them. And that way they can do the most flying that they can.
Thanks, Glenn. That's a lot of tremendous information there. But of course, you are in Los Angeles, and maybe some people have never been to even California before. And one of the beauties of this is you're in the middle of everything that's going on in that area. Ed, what are some tips for people who have never been to LA before in kind of navigating that general vicinity?
Big picture for LA, I'm originally from New York City, so it kind of struck me how spread out Los Angeles is. So if you do want to go out and explore, take a look at how long it's going to take to go to places, right? You can't really go to Venice Beach, to the Hollywood sign, to downtown, to Malibu in one day unless you really like driving a lot. So, you know, try and plan your, you know, outside of competition activities accordingly. I'm a big foodie. Like if you ask me in, you know, an elevator speech, what do I like to do? I love to go out and eat. I love trying all the different foods that are in LA. I know a lot of people think when they think of LA, they think of tacos, but there is an amazing amount of different culinary cuisine out here that even, you know, I remember being a college student, you know, budgets are tight. There's a lot of great places you guys can go to that are relatively inexpensive. I'm sure those of you who have seen on Instagram, In-N-Out is, you know, probably the best bang for your buck in California. That's a personal favorite of mine, as well as there's another establishment called Fat Sal's. If any of you have ever been to Rutgers before, Fat Sal's is a paying homage to the Rutgers grease trucks. If any of you are interested in udon or, you know, any type of noodles or anything like that, there is a little Tokyo area in, called Sawtelle that has amazing food. But of course, everyone most likely comes to LA and they want tacos, right? So where do you go? Personally, and I'll, you know, you guys will have these charts, but Blue Plate Taco in Santa Monica looks right over the water. A little pricey, but awesome. Benny's Tacos is a lot more reasonable. Sonorita's Tacos, their burritos are out of this world. Tacos Por Favor is probably one of the best bangs for your buck you can get in Los Angeles. But, I mean, we have amazing pizza, and as a New Yorker, I find that very hard to believe, but there is some places that do give New York pizza a run for its money, as well as, if you guys have never been to Din Tai Fung before, they were the originators of the Jia Long Bao soup dumpling. Highly recommend you guys try and go there, because it is out of this world every time I've been there. Yeah, like I said, big foodie, right? But, okay, aside from food, what else is there to do? If you're coming to Los Angeles, you got to go into the film industry. You got to, or as they call it here, the biz, or the media, or at least just the biz they call it. Sorry. My personal favorite is the Warner Brothers Studio Tour, which is in the Valley. It's probably about 30, 45 minutes away from the Field venue. That one is probably one of the best studio tours out there, because you get to see, they have a whole Harry Potter, Batman. There's a whole bunch you can do there. Paramount Studios, fun fact, Paramount Studios is the only studio actually located in Hollywood. All the other studios are either located in near like the Burbank area or Culver City, where Sony Studios are. Paramount Studios is an awesome tour as well. They have a lot of historic films, right? You can see all the Oscars, their props, prop room, thing like that. Sony Studio Tour is a lot of fun as well. They have the original Seinfeld set, a lot of Ghostbusters stuff, so on and so forth. Unfortunately, you cannot go to Disney Studios in Burbank. They do not offer a tour, but of course, Disneyland is in Anaheim if you're so inclined. And there is a Universal Studios tour, but that's inside Universal Studios Park, which would require you to buy a ticket at a pretty high price point.
And if I could tack on to, I actually had a chance to go to Universal Hollywood on another event that I was out there for last year, not SAE, and highly recommend. It's a smaller park, and a big fan of the Mario World. Just saying, just gonna put that out there.
Oh, awesome! Yeah, I haven't been there yet. I was there when it was Simpsons World. I haven't been there for Mario World yet. So those are all things that cost money, right? But there is an enormous amount you can do in Los Angeles that really doesn't cost anything, right? So one of the very LA things you can do is hike or walk Runyon Canyon Park, which is a little closer to downtown Los Angeles. But every time I've gone there, I've seen a celebrity hiking or walking around. Santa Monica Pier is another one. I haven't gone there that much since I live here now, but always something cool to see. Malibu Pier is a little off the beaten path, right? But it's really pretty driving up the Pacific Coast Highway and kind of going into the Malibu area. Manhattan Beach is honestly one of my favorite beach communities here in the Los Angeles area. So Manhattan Beach and Redondo and company are all south of LAX. Technically, they call that South Bay, but it's an amazing area. Lots of cool restaurants. Very much a California beachy town, if you could think of one. Venice Beach and Boardwalk are always fun as well. But I currently live near UCLA, and one of my favorite things to do, as cliche as it sounds, is go to the Century City Mall. And it is kind of like every mall you've ever seen in a TV show about California. It's an outdoor mall. They have awesome restaurants. That's where Din Tai Fung is. They have an Eataly. If you've never been to an Eataly, they are these awesome Italian restaurant, supermarket, grocery stores. And honestly, again, if you're into seeing celebrities and things like that, Century City is a good spot to go as well. There's really nothing you can do that can go wrong in Los Angeles, because there's something to do for everyone. And I really love it here. The weather's great. Please, 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 we will have sunblock at the event. But when you're outside the event, the sun is really intense here. My heritage is Irish, so I don't do too well in the sun. So please be mindful that you may be a little more prone to getting sunburned than you are in the past.
Absolutely. I haven't done several of these events and other events in the Los Angeles area. It's really cool. One of my favorite things is driving up the, up towards Malibu, like from Santa Monica Pier to Malibu, like that little stretch there and up in the hills and seeing all the houses and realizing how close you are. I think like the Hollywood Walk of Fame is about 20 minutes away. I know somebody went and saw the Back to the Future house. I saw a documentary where it looks like, I think the original Industrial Light and Magic, when they worked on the Star Wars models, is like right on the other side of the airport, if I'm not mistaken, from where we'll be. So it's a lot of Hollywood history. It's really cool to realize you're where all that stuff kind of happens. So,
yeah, I just wanted to throw in there, since we're talking about things, you go down to Santa Monica Pier, the Malibu Pier, Manhattan Beach. There's lots of beach volleyball and lots of surfing. And there's also a little restaurant called Mickey's Cafe and Delicatessen, the best Italian subs anywhere in the world.
Really?
I will take you there, Ed.
Over Bay Cities in Santa Monica?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Mm. Guaranteed. Okay.
So, and again, if you're there and you have one any more recommendations, just talk to Ed, talk to Glenn, talk to the Red Hats there that have been at this for a bit that know the area a little bit, because they can probably help you with some of the, find the secret things you want to check out in the LA area. Because yes, we're here to work. Yes, we're here to compete and further and learn and everything. But, hey, when are you going to get to LA, if you're not from the area? So, Ed, Glenn, it's been a great conversation. Really looking forward to hanging with you guys again at Aero Design East. You have any final words here before we head out? Any advice or anything like that from each of you?
Yes, teams, come be prepared to compete, have fun, take the opportunity to meet people, share your resumes. This is a time for you to shine. There will be people out there, companies will be interviewing, will be looking for new hires. And we know you're bringing the finest aeronautical, mechanical, electrical, and software engineers in the world to this competition. So bring it all and make sure that you're making a good impression. Good luck. Safe travels.
Yep. And to close with that, I'm really looking forward to, seeing how, seeing what designs are offered and also seeing who can overthrow, previous champs, right? I know Texas A&M, College Station, won last year, and I believe they are competing again this year. So I'm curious to see if they can hold on to that number one spot, or if some of the other universities can overthrow them. So I'm really looking forward to this being a really tight competition, and I can't wait to meet everyone.
Thanks again, Ed and Glenn. And if you guys are preparing for this, make sure you are staying tuned to the news updates. Check out the CDS Action News update for April for the latest there. And it will also be in your podcast feed, probably alongside this and on YouTube. And of course, if you haven't yet, download that Aero Design, SAE Aero Design app, and you'll get the push notifications. Make sure the notifications are on your phone, iPhone, and Android. And you'll get updated throughout the competition and a lot of important information as things happen, as conditions change, anything you want to know when lunch is ready. So go check that out and be a part of that. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time. Stay safe out there. Thanks for listening to Flight Plans, the SAE Aero Design Podcast. The show notes for this episode and all others can be found at aerodesign.fireside.fm. Stay safe, and we'll catch you next episode.